This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
Hi. Everyone calls me Rasputin, but you can call me Raz. And I'm here to welcome you to the Xbox Unlocked Podcast, the world's number one Xbox podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the 511th episode of Podcast Unlocked, IGN's weekly Xbox show. This one is for September 14th, 2021. As always, I'm joined by Miranda Sanchez. Hello, Miranda.
Hi, hello. Welcome on in, everyone.
And welcome King Phoenix joining us. He is a Twitch streamer. He is an Xbox ambassador. Welcome. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here with both of you.
Oh, it's the feeling's mutual. I was telling you before we got on, I saw you on Level One Gaming's Black Men in Gaming stream, which was fantastic. I just really appreciated that conversation. I thought, I got to follow this gentleman, get him on here. And you are an Xbox ambassador. So that's where we got to start, since a lot of the Unlocked audience may not know you, and Miranda and I are just getting to know you. What is your sort of personal history and background with Xbox?
Ooh, so my personal history with Xbox, I remember I was in 10th grade. Oh my God, this is dating myself. But I was in 10th grade when the original console launched, and I was like, I want a PlayStation 2, and it was just sold out, so we couldn't find it. So my mom came home from Funkoland at the time,
yes,
and with this box, and I'm like, what is this? This isn't a PlayStation 2. And it came with this indie game called Halo Combat Evolved. And I remember plugging it into the TV and just fell in love with it. And just, I say it all the time. I think Halo, I was a gamer since the original NES, but I think Halo is the game that made me fall in love with this industry. And I have been riding with Microsoft and the Xbox brand since, for 20 years now at this point almost. Yeah. So that's my history with Xbox at this point.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great story. You're an accidental Xbox gamer, but then it's yes, completely worked out for you. And I'm sure your story is not, you're not the only one that just fell in love with Halo and haven't looked back on Xbox ever since. So, all right, how about give me a quick, like, three or five of your just favorite Xbox games over the 20 years. So Xbox 360, ooh, Xbox One now. What comes to mind, like, just right off the top of your head?
KOTOR. I would say Banjo-Kazooie on the 360. I would definitely say Halo 2 was the most memorable for me. So I think that's three. I would then say the year that gaming was extraordinarily amazing was 2007, when we got Halo 3 and BioShock and all those great titles that year. And I would say the first Mass Effect.
Nice.
First Mass Effect just blew my mind away with what it was doing and its rich storytelling.
Oh, I can't argue with any of that. That is a phenomenal answer. So are you a Mass Effect 1 or Mass Effect 2 fan in the end? Like, which is your favorite of the trilogy?
Mass Effect 2, hands down.
Two. It's many people. That seems to be the most common answer, Mass Effect 2. Well, lots of great stuff. You love role-playing games, and specifically, you cited two games from BioWare. We're going to talk about one of those right now, in fact. So that is the big Xbox news of the week, and I hope none of the commenters get mad at me, but it's like, we're going to talk about the PlayStation Showcase, but specifically because of the Xbox implication of one of those particular announcements that Phoenix just hinted at, and that is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. So rumors have been swirling for some time that there was a new KOTOR project going on. and specifically from Aspyr. Was it going to be a KOTOR 3? What was it? Well, it is a from the ground up, full-on remake of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, similar to the ground-up remakes that Capcom has had a lot of success with Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3. It is not a remaster. This is a full, like, they are starting over remaking the game. And we have, but the news is, this not only debuted at the PlayStation Showcase last week, which was basically PlayStation's E3, because they didn't participate in E3 and hadn't done a stream since. It's a timed exclusive. It'll launch on PS5 and PC, and then Xbox will get it sometime later. So there's a lot to unpack here. I want to go to both Miranda and Phoenix, of course, but just before I do that, just a quick quote from Aspyr and their lead producer, Ryan Treadwell, who says, "We've assembled a prolific group of some of gaming's top RPG developers, including those with direct experience working on Star Wars games and video game remakes. Many of us previously worked at BioWare, with credits going back to the original KOTOR. To further bolster that, we've added some amazing developers from games like Demon's Souls Remake and Ghosts of Tsushima, and our narrative team is fantastic with years of storytelling experience across Star Wars games and comics. We also have Jason Miner and Brad Prince on the team, whose experience with the world, characters, and creatures of this universe is invaluable. And I'm excited to partner once again with Matt Berner, our lead gameplay designer. We worked together on Dragon Age Inquisition at BioWare, and we immediately fell back into our old rhythm." Well, Phoenix, I've got to go to you first. You mentioned KOTOR as one of your favorite Xbox games ever, which I would put on my list as well. What, there's a lot going on here. What is your initial reaction to A, a KOTOR remake, B, Aspyr of all studios doing it, and C, that it is gone from an Xbox exclusive in 2003 to now a timed PlayStation exclusive in 2020, whatever this comes out?
I think, one, when I watched the showcase, I was excited. I was like, oh, Star Wars, Knights of the Old Republic, yes, because I've been clamoring for one for years. And it's an exclusive for PlayStation and PlayStation on the event. While I own a PS5 as a Xbox fan, I was like, okay. I want to play this on my Series X. You know, I want to play this on the monster that I have in front of my TV. But, I think Aspyr has a tough mountain to climb with this. And I think on the consumer aspect of it, for people like me who grew up with this game, I think they have to show me very much why I'm going to reinvest into this franchise. Because it's kind of like, let's say you give me the keys to the kingdom to go and make a Perfect Dark game, and I have to build a studio, for instance, to make this game. These are tough shoes to fill, and I don't envy them, but I just hope that they're very transparent with consumers about the process, what we can expect, and showing things when they're ready to show. That's my hope and dreams for it.
Yeah, I mean, I do appreciate, to that exact great point, they are kind of, they know that everybody has reasonable doubt about Aspyr, because if you look at Aspyr's history, in fact, I think Miranda, you've got it in front of you, right? Like what,
yes, I do.
What these guys have done, right? It's nothing to this caliber.
No, really what they've done so far is sort of work as a support studio to help other games get to other platforms. So for instance, they'll, you know, port some things to mobile or help some things. They helped a Ruby game get to Switch. Like, they're not really going in and developing games from the ground up. They're just helping and facilitating these transfers of games to other platforms. So it's a little, I guess, I could understand, like, concern of, like, hey, you guys don't really make a lot of games, and you have, like, this huge game in front of you now. That being said, they have worked on, at least on their most recent, like, our titles page, 3 Star Wars games. So they do have a relationship with, like, Lucas and Disney, and so they have experience with that. And I think, to your point, Ryan, that's why, you know, lead producer from Aspyr was saying, hey, we have these people involved, like, we're going to do our best. And just trying to, hopefully, I think, quell some of those worries about, like, this studio that hasn't historically just made a lot of games on their own, saying that we can do this. Obviously, like, having any experience at a studio, and I'm sure, like, getting, you know, a game to another platform is no small feat. Like, I don't know. I've backed plenty of Kickstarter games in my time, like just smaller things. So like, we're trying to get it on the Switch, but you know, it takes a lot of work. It's not just copying the code and saying, we're good, change the file name. So there is stuff involved there. So, you know, this team, I think to your point too, Phoenix, is that they need to show like, hey, what do you guys have envisioned here for this game? Like, how are you going to, you know, put your best step forward with this? And I think the first, I guess, gameplay trailer or whatever they have eventually is going to be really important.
Yeah. Miranda, yeah, you mentioned so their recent work. I know off the top of my head, I think you've got it there, but it's they did that Republic Commando port, mm-hmm. which I think did that come to Xbox or was that? I think something in my brain says that was actually only PC and PlayStation, but
it says PlayStation and Switch on here.
And Switch. OK, that's a very odd omission to leave Xbox out yeah, of that. But OK, but because that was a really beloved Xbox. I mean, that was multi-platform at the time, PS2 and Xbox. But and then they also did not Star Wars, but they did they brought Stubbs the Zombie, which is the definition of a cult classic original Xbox game. They brought that back just with, you know, pretty much as is, no real work done to it. Now, yeah. So, Miranda, what are your thoughts on this as overall? I know you said you have not played this game at all. So whenever this comes around, it'll be your first experience with KOTOR. So, you know, you've heard the reputation precedes this game. You know, it's a let's just call them inexperienced studio in the sense of a ground up AAA project. How are you feeling about this announcement and the fact that it's PlayStation timed exclusive?
I'm curious. First off, I was like, yay, Brian, I'm so happy for you. And I hope it turns out to be real swell. We'll see. I guess I'm more grateful that I'll have a chance to play it just because I know people love this game so much. And obviously it's going to be a remix. It'll be different. But I think hopefully I'll still get a similar but updated experience that everyone loves. And that's just what I'm holding on to. I have thought about going to the original Knights of the Royal Republic, but that I've been kind of warned against maybe doing that because it's a little, it's really dated in some ways is what I've heard. So we'll see. I'm curious, as far as it being a PlayStation limited time exclusive, we're just seeing so much of that right now. And usually when it's like, it's on PC, it's like, I don't know. Like I have a PS5 and I play things on there too. Sometimes I still have the same issue, whereas I don't love the controller. I've harped on this before. I just have small hands. The DualShock is just the way it's designed. It's not good for my hand. Like my thumbs don't reach that well over. And it's like my hands start hurting after a while. Anyway, I'm like, can you make a kid's controller, please? anyway, it's very silly. But so sometimes when I have the options, like, okay, well, I could just go play on my PC and like plug in my Xbox controller and have exactly. a great time. So maybe I'll just do that instead. and just kind of keeping my PS5 for the Sony exclusives. But I don't know. We'll see. I think it kind of depends on how I feel and like where I want to play, because that's also ends up being a big thing. It's like, do I want to be at this desk all day? I don't know. Then I could just yeah. take it to my TV.
Well, this is go ahead.
Oh, no. But yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, I'm not in any rush, so maybe I'll just wait till it comes out on Xbox. Who can say?
This is a 40 plus hour role playing game that is renowned for its story and its characters like HK-47. Phoenix, are you a light side guy or a dark side guy for KOTOR?
Oh, I'm the dark side all the way. Yes. All the way.
Yes.
Oh, no.
You know,
yes, you and I just, are going to get along great.
You know, I always say bad guys have more fun.
I'm
that's the best way to put it.
If you're not watching, I'm in the middle screen today. And yeah, I like to play the good person.
And Phoenix, you can remember as well. I mean, this was one of the first games to really support in a story way, like actually support your choices in being good or bad. Like there have been other games over the years where you could do bad things like kill an NPC or whatever, but nothing would actually happen. But this game, you'd become evil incarnate, right? It was like and things would change based on how you behave.
Yeah, and I think that was the beauty of it, because, I mean, I grew up on the back end of Star Wars. It would come on like Saturday afternoons. So I would always be like, oh, Darth Vader is so cool. And I loved Luke and Han, obviously, but I always was just drawn to Darth Vader. I'm like, oh my gosh, there should be a Star Wars game. And then KOTOR came out and I was like, wait a minute, I can be bad? Oh, this is going to be awesome. So I'm excited to do that all over again.
So 2003 was the original. That means we're going to be looking at 20 years roughly between the original and the remake, because there is no release date given for the KOTOR remake. But I mean, it's announced in fall of 2021. Fall of 2023 is probably the soonest we'd see it. And the reason I say that is because if it were coming sooner than that, like say fall of 2022, they probably would have at least said 2022 in the trailer. They did not do that. Actually, let me go back to Phoenix here, since you and I are the two that have played this previously. Phoenix, what do you think? I want to ask you about story and gameplay. We'll start with gameplay, because this is KOTOR was a turn-based game, sort of a cleverly disguised one, but still turn-based, where you'd stack up and queue up your attacks for your party members and then let it rip and see how the battle plays out. Do you think they'll keep that for a full-on remake, or do you think the tastes of the audience have changed and they're going to need to figure out a way to make this more of a real-time combat experience?
I think that the tastes have changed, and Final Fantasy, and I'll use that as an example, Final Fantasy has been a turn-based game for God knows how long, but when they did the remake for 7, that turned into an action style, and I would love to see them go down that road. Will it work? Because again, it's kind of the studio again has to prove themselves, but I would love to see them go down an action RPG road, in my personal opinion. And as far as story, I think you kind of have to update it for the times. Because a lot of times back then, I don't think we were in a place with gaming or media in general where things kind of have a darker tone. And I think depending on the path that you choose, if you go down the dark side of the Force or the dark side, then I think it should have a darker tone to the game, and obviously opposite on the spectrum for the light side.
And then how about the other point before I get Miranda's take on this, the idea of this becoming canon now, because we know that in the post Disney era of Star Wars, everything is supposed to be canon. KOTOR came way before. It was set 4,000 years before. So do you think we'll get, it has to be canonized, right? Just to fit in everything. And do you think they'll make any substantial changes to the story as a result of that sort of having to adhere to the canon and the Star Wars story Bible?
I think they would probably have to make some changes, but then that's where I think there has to be a collaborative effort from Lucasfilm and Aspire. And as soon as I think of Lucasfilm now, I think of Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau. So if they have that collaborative effort between the two, they could easily craft a story and make it fit into the canon. Because if this is considered canon, I would love and pray to the Disney gods that there is some form of a KOTOR show in the works, or at least a string of films that this could lead into eventually.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, that's now, Miranda, before this, I would have said, well, the statute of limitations is up on KOTOR. If it gets spoiled for you, whatever, it's been 17 years. But now I feel like the statute of limitations goes back into effect, and it's critical that nobody, including yourself, that hasn't played it, that you can't have it ruined for you, because there is, and we don't know how the story will change, but presumably if it stays remotely the same, you will not want this story ruined for you, Miranda.
Okay, no one ruin it for me, please. I didn't ruin Mass Effect for anybody. Please don't ruin this for me.
Same development team, by the way, Mass Effect.
Yeah,
and KOTOR, same team.
That's got me very excited for it. I will say too, on the point of it being canon, I'm assuming that's why they're kind of touching on their narrative developers. So, like, even though this is a remake, like, it was probably going to have like a similar story, I would assume. They do have to make sure, like, to Phoenix's point, that it needs to be updated and make sure that it fits. Star Wars canon gets kind of wild in the books. Like, I had a friend, I forget what it was called. There's a compilation of stories of side characters from Star Wars, and they get real weird, and like how they try to make people, I guess, really important throughout Star Wars history. And so I think this being set so far ahead will lay groundwork nicely for what we have in Star Wars. But I feel like because it is so far back in the past, yeah, that you're going to get a lot of space to play with that canon. Like, I think they're going to be able to set up a lot of cool stuff there and not have to hopefully worry too much about the Star Wars lore gods coming in and being like, hey, can't do that. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I guess if it's still, if they keep it set thousands of years before the films, that should hopefully help steer it clear of any potential narrative conflicts. But now, Phoenix, now I'm just coming back to, I'm getting excited in my brain about a Disney Plus show. Now that you've like planted the seed of like, oh, this could totally morph into a whole other thing. Cause that could be, that would be, that could be like the big new Disney show in 3 to 5 years from now.
It would be cool.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. The last point I want to make on this project, because we've, again, there is a lot. I mean, this is a game that we've all wanted for a long time. It's been 20 years. This is one of the best role-playing games and of all time, and arguably the best Star Wars game of all time. You can make the case for a couple of different games, Jedi Knight, even Jedi Knight 2. There's a few candidates on the shortlist. For me, this is number one, and it's not close. Phoenix, the other factor here with Aspyr being a studio that doesn't have a history of developing their own large-scale projects, what engine is this thing going to use? Because it's not like Aspyr is a studio, you know, like an id Software or somebody that has their own tech in-house that they've, you know, built and iterated on and developed. So presumably they're going to have to license one of the major engines to build this thing off of, right?
I would assume so. And if Sony hypothetically is footing the bill, we don't know who's footing the bill. I'm just going to say that Sony's doing it. I think of one of their world-class developers, Insomniac, stepping in and saying, hey, use one of our engines that we use for Miles Morales, because that game looked pretty. So I think that Sony should enlist one of their studios that actually has a really pretty engine, at least to help them out. That's right. Just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, not unlike Kojima used the Horizon Dawn. I can't remember the name of the tech right now off the top of my head, but for Death Stranding, they borrowed that. Of course, that was all, you know, first party Sony in-house. Yeah, I mean, you may very well be right, but we do know this is going to come to Xbox at some point. And it's not to say that Insomniac's tech wouldn't run on an Xbox, but yeah, I wonder, I mean, my default guess would be Unreal Engine 5 is what they'll go to, because we know it's pretty, we know it's flexible, it's got a physics system built in, it's got all kinds of stuff built in. So that's add it to the list of questions that we have about this project moving forward. But yeah, I'm definitely excited about this. It is just sort of a strange cosmic full circle of weirdness that it started life in 2003 as an Xbox exclusive, and it's coming back as a PlayStation exclusive 20 years later. But yeah, like Miranda, I'll play it on either PC or my PS5. It's fine. Hopefully by the time this game comes out, there will be enough Xboxes and PlayStation 5s for everybody to buy that wants one. But yeah, it's the question, I guess the other question number 632 is, how long is the exclusivity period? Is it a year? That would probably be my default assumption, given that that's at least that's what it's been with the Bethesda deal, the pre-Xbox acquisition deals for Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo. Will it be less? Supposedly, Final Fantasy VII Remake, as Phoenix was talking about, that was supposedly a year, but it's been way more than a year, and it's still not on Xbox. So who the heck knows when Xbox is going to get this thing? But I am glad it's getting made, and Xbox will get it eventually. If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This week's podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlocked. And that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/unlocked without the E.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Give the active people in your life something they'll truly appreciate. Performance apparel from Vuori. Whether they're into running, surfing, hiking, or even just casual walks around the block, there's something for everyone. And if you're not sure what to gift them, you can't go wrong with something from Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's the perfect gift and so comfortable. Get 20% off your first purchase today at Vuori, Vuori.com/Spotify.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Next up. Halo. Time to talk Halo again. I mean, we're getting to the point where we're probably going to be talking about Halo every week for quite a while, which makes me so happy that we finally reached that point. And so the news this week is the next Halo Infinite multiplayer flight. The next preview weekend is going to be September 24th, 343 saying all fully registered Halo Insider profiles as of September 13th. That's already come and gone, by the way, so I hope you already signed up from last time, are eligible to participate. Now, as to what's going to be in it this time, 343's community lead Brian Gerard says bots will be back with some improvements, Academy will return, some updates, and the addition of training mode, and here's the big fun part, there will be a much bigger focus on arena PvP this time, including a new map and some objective modes. Big team battle is also on the menu. Miranda, I see both of you applauding this, which let's dig in here. Miranda, I'll start with you. What of those objective modes? What's your favorite Halo objective mode that you're hoping maybe will sneak into this multiplayer preview?
To be honest, I just like Slayer. I know it's not very exciting, but I'm just like, just let me go. I want to, or Capture the Flag's fun too. I'm pretty much down for anything. Honestly, I'm just really excited to see Academy back, which may sound like the most boring of the things you can check out, but as that's something new, and I did feel like I got so much out of it the first time, I'm curious to see how they're going to build upon that, whether it's just through the updates or, like, you know, the additional training mode. Because I do believe, like, if you want to be good at shooters, you have to practice. Like, you have to have a lot of time in it. And Academy felt like a good way for me to, like, reacquaint myself with some old techniques or some quick reaction time things. My little cat's being, you know, weird today. Sorry. And so having that mode kind of expand in this, you get to see what that's going to offer, is really exciting for me. Because if you do want to get better and you don't necessarily have all the time or want to just sit with the frustration of learning on the field with people or bots this time, you can just go to the Academy and see what's up and get to learn and learn to love new weapons. That's been a good thing for me too.
Yeah, but without your KDR taking a huge hit in real games. Phoenix, you were gleefully applauding this as well. Did you have a chance to play the first preview?
I did. Shamefully, I got into the game, and after the first game, like, I'm sitting here playing. I'm like, what is this rolling down my face? And it was literally a tear coming down my eyes because it felt like Halo. You know what I mean? I am so incredibly happy for 343 because this felt like the natural successor to Halo 3 for me. I'm just excited to get into some Capture the Flag, Oddball, like, my God, you name it. Big Team Battle is always just chaos on wheels, as I call it. And it's just so much fun. And I every time we talk about this game, even with my friends, and we nerd out over it, I'm so happy Halo is back. And this is something that I think the world is ready for. I'm ready for the King of the Hill, as I've called this game plenty of times before. This is, to me, the king of multiplayers, in my personal opinion. And it's their return to form for me.
You're now psyching me up to do this because I did not get a chance to play in the first preview. I happened to be I left town for a trip the day it started, so I can't wait. And I've just been hearing nothing but good things, not just from the Unlocked panel, but from the gaming community, from the Xbox community as well. And I'm psyched. I mean, I'm glad you said Oddball because that's probably my favorite of the objective game types. Man, I love CTF at heart as well. I mean, who doesn't love Blood Gulch, CTF, all vehicles on, going all the way back? But yeah, Oddball is just, there's nothing better than just getting in and punching somebody with the skull for that one hit kill to hang on to it for a little longer. I can't wait to see this. And the fact that Big Team Battle is in this, because that's been the thing for me. That's probably the one weakness, I would say, of Halo 5 multiplayer. What was otherwise a phenomenal multiplayer suite in Halo 5, didn't focus on big team. And 343 has been very clear. They're returning to a focus on big team for Halo Infinite. So, and we know we're going to have this giant Halo ring to play with. I mean, that's in single player, but I imagine the multiplayer maps will take a lot of inspiration from that too. So, yeah, I'm psyched for, I'm going to be glued to this starting on September 24th, which is 4 days after my birthday. It's a little belated birthday present for me. Which
you're
I'm
a Virgo.
For. In fact, you just had a birthday, Phoenix. So happy birthday to you. Yeah, you just
thank
you by a week or two here. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, everybody's, it's, it's all of us fall, late summer, early fall. Got to stick together. And what was the last point I wanted to make on this? Do either of you think, I'll start with Miranda first. So the first test, first flight was late July. This one's late September. Miranda, do you think we'll get one more before launch in early December? Or do you think this might be it?
I hope so. Because I want to keep playing it. I'm still so sad that it's not till December, because it's like whenever fall rolls in, I need like that shooter fix. And right now, nothing is doing it for me. Like, I'm not really a Battlefield person. The new Call of Duty, I had my time with that. I was like, not feeling it.
We talked about that last week. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, can I just play more Halo? So I really do hope we get one more round. And I think that would maybe even just having it be more open and not just the Halo Insider folks, because, you know, with this, they're trying to go free to play. They're trying to be like, hey, you're on PC, you're on Xbox, you can play. You don't need anything. Just jump on in. And I think having it be even more open for that final step would be a good introduction to other people. Granted, it will still be a beta. It'll be pre-launch. So they'll have to, you know, I guess message that pretty heavily. But people understand that. People play early access and alphas and all these sorts of things all the time. So it's expected. And what we played last time, obviously there's a lot of like technical issues and like we're flashing and stuff, but we knew that going in. We're like, I don't care. I just want to play. And still had a blast. Like this game works phenomenally well. And I cannot wait to get back into it. And I hope that we can have more people have another chance again later this year.
Phoenix, what do you think? One more after this? You think they'll squeeze in a last second like mega stress test, or do you think this might be it?
I'm going to be the oddball here, no pun intended. I think they go for two. I think they launch one kind of before Call of Duty, and then kind of one closer to launch where you open the floodgates and you stress test the servers, because I don't personally believe at launch this game can have no hiccups in terms of getting access into multiplayer, getting access into matchmaking, and just this has to have a smooth as possible launch. So I think, and I know nothing about nothing, I believe it might be two.
I hope you're right. But and you make a lot of sense, really. I mean, it's I do think there will definitely be at least one more for a final, because you hit the nail on the head. Like, we all know that 343, they're reputationally, their backs are against the wall with this game. Like, it's been a long, difficult road with I mean, not just Halo Infinite. I mean, Halo 5, we've talked ad nauseum about the campaign and how that was disappointing. And this is a studio that is, you know, they're really fighting to establish themselves as a great studio that can make a phenomenal all-around Halo game. And you're right, like they can't afford any major technical mishaps. It's got to launch as cleanly as possible. And yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to slam the servers as absolutely hard as possible, like probably just opening, effectively launching the game for a weekend and then closing the game back down before, you know, to implement any fixes and changes that they see. But I wonder if they might do that over like Black Friday, you know, because then that's like 2 weeks before launch at that point, roughly. And I mean, I don't want them all to have to work over the Thanksgiving weekend. That's not, right. You know, I'm not wishing that upon them, but that could be a time where everybody's home, everybody's, you know, ready to just hammer on the game for a while. So we shall see. But yeah, I'm super excited about this and I can't wait to play it. I mean, it's you're right though, Phoenix. There's just something about Halo. It's like the weird magical combination of the time to kill and the weapons and the maps and the player movement speed and the vehicles and how they integrate. It's just the feel of everything. It's all just turned into this Halo soup that I don't think, if you tried to reverse engineer Halo and like build another game, just like, I don't know if you could. I think it would be really, really difficult to reverse engineer Halo at this point. So here we go. September 24th. Mark your calendars. Next this week, we've got new updates to your Xbox app on Windows 10 PCs that will let you stream games to your PC from the console or from the cloud. So Phoenix, have you used the xCloud, the cloud play stuff at all? Have you tested any of that yet?
I did. I have the, what is that called? The backbone, jawbone? The thing you hook up to your
One Destin that can't get because no one likes it.
Shout out to Destin, by the way. No, I absolutely love it because I remember when we went to go see Shang-Chi, I'm literally just sitting here in the movie theater just playing on this thing. And a friend of mine was like, how are you playing your Xbox on your phone? And I was like, funny, you should say that. And then I went down the spiel, but I love it. You know what? I just think this is a way for them to test that. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here, but I think it's a way for them to test this type of technology, because I personally believe Game Pass is coming to an app on my OLED. I believe Game Pass is coming to an app on my Apple TV. Right. And this is just a way to test that. So I'm anxious. I'm very excited to try this out.
Miranda, is this, will this be relevant to you streaming from your PC to either the phone or the console. Will you make use of this particular update?
No. I wish I would, but I don't know. I'm just here. My Xbox is right over there waiting for me. Or I have, you know, everything downloaded on my PC already. I have the space. I don't need to stream it. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at. I could try it.
It's probably going to be most useful for multi-gamer households, I would suspect, where, you know, somebody's using the TV, and potentially the console itself, and, you know, just fire up the Xbox app, and you can either play on PC or play on a mobile device in your house.
Right. I do remember those days when I was just like, but it's my turn for the Xbox.
Yes.
Get out of the way, little brother or sisters, one of them.
Screaming for your mom. He's taking up the TV.
No, I was the oldest, so I was like, get off. just kidding. I had to share.
Oh, that's great. Don't you have a twin sister? So aren't you only a couple minutes older?
1 minute, yes. Also, she watches. Hi, Sarah. I love you. She got Game Pass, and she's like, I have to watch your show now so I can know what you're talking about, and so I can play more games. And I was like, oh, I'm so proud of you. That just means that I have to, you know, push back on everyone to get your game time, but that's not a problem anymore. However, exactly to your point, Ryan, that is such a huge part of this, and I think that was like a big selling point of the Switch too, right? Like, you could play it docked, or you could, like, you know, take it to the couch or be out and about with it. And Microsoft is finding a way to do that, because I find, like, a lot of people ask, hey, do you think Microsoft would ever make a handheld? What about PlayStation? You think they're going to make a handheld? And I'm like, no. And I think Microsoft has just taken such a smart approach of just, hey, you guys already have this kick-ass technology. What if you just use that also to play our games? Cool. And so it's just a smart approach.
Yeah. And the nice part is the next step after this presumably will be what they've been talking about back at E3. Streaming from the servers, from xCloud to the console, meaning playing Xbox Series X games like Flight Simulator on an Xbox One via streaming. So that's presumably the next step. They've told us that's going to be launching in the fall, which is, I mean, technically fall starts in 1 week from now, technically. So
right.
that is the next step, and that's going to be a big step for a lot of people. Again, considering that no one can get a Series X in stores, they continue to be very difficult to come by.
I will say one thing that's very nice about them testing all this now is that once it's a little bit safer for us to travel and be out and about more regularly, we'll be ready to have Xbox games with us wherever we go. Those long family vacations, just pull out your phone. It's like, I didn't bring my whatever things you usually bring because it's harder to pack, but you still have your phone and you can play an Xbox game.
Yes. Yes. Well said. Well said. Exactly right. One more news story for this week, and it involves a number of release dates, but I want to focus specifically on Grand Theft Auto 5, the next gen version that was due out in November in just 2 months' time, has been pushed back to March of 2022. There was a new trailer at the PlayStation showcase, but of course, this is coming day and date to Xbox Series X and S as well. They're promising, you know, enhancements of some kind, but they have yet to detail still at this point what those enhancements are. For me, I would hope then 60 frames per second would be probably the biggest quality of life upgrade they could make on the new console. So we'll see if they do that. But I'm kind of curious. We did a story on IGN sort of resourcing the community that are you tired of hearing about Grand Theft Auto 5 in general, or are you super psyched for this this next gen port? Where do you stand with this?
I'm a bit of both. I mean, I'm going to get it because I have GTA 5 on my Series X, but I'm kind of, let's just get to it already. You know, I feel like at this point, GTA 3 has been in my face since 2013, and I can't say I'm ready for GTA 6 because I know that's a ways away, but I'm kind of at this point, just let's talk about it when it's close to release at this point. I played on PC as well, so if we're not talking those kind of improvements in terms of graphic fidelity and things like that, let's just release it.
Yeah. Well, we know. I mean, games are tough, even, you know, even when they're just they're clearly doing a number of things. If it's still not going to be out until March. Miranda, how about you? Where are you with this? I know, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is one of the biggest wikis on IGN, so I presume you have to keep up with the game. Are you kind of tired of hearing about it, or are you eager to dive back in to Los Santos here?
I actually want to go back because I haven't played it since it came out. So I finished the game and I played a little bit in GTA Online when it first launched, but that was when it was first launched. So I'm down. I'm not really tired of hearing about it. I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, we're just like everything else. We're getting an update. It's delayed. Checks out. I think there was something else that's delayed this morning too. Oh yeah, Dying Light. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, everything, like I said, I think in a previous show too, everything that has a release date, but it's not like a firm date, and you don't, if it doesn't have the pressure to come out immediately, like Halo, like there is pressure for Halo to come out versus a lot of other things that don't have that same pressure. That date is flexible. Don't plan on it. Don't take any time off yet. Okay.
Right. Don't book that. Don't get that, you know, that doctor's sick note yet. Like, you know, what was it? The Pete Hines would always do at a major Bethesda release, Dovahkiinitis or something when Skyrim came out. I forget. There was something he put up on social that was fun back then. Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Miranda. I'm the same way where it's GTA 5's, I think it's one of the greatest games of all time. I would probably put it in my top 10, period. I think it's just an incredible accomplishment, design, tech, you name it. It's a masterpiece. But I, like you, I mean, the nature of our jobs is kind of such that we're always keeping up with the next thing, which I'm not complaining about. But like you, yeah, I haven't actually played through the whole thing since it came out in 2013. I guess because even when it came to Xbox One with the first person mode, and obviously that would have pumped it up to 1080p as well, I only played a handful of hours with it there. So I do want to play it again. It's been long enough. I want to go back through. And same thing as you, I played at the launch of GTA Online when it was famously broken. And now it's this incredible, just overflowing with content. There are flying DeLoreans in it. There's all kinds of crazy stuff in it that I'm going to be coming out with pretty fresh eyes. So I'm excited for this. Am I bummed it's pushed to March? Sure. But you know what? This fall, I'm going to be pretty busy with Halo, number one, come early December. That's going to be my top priority, personally speaking, and there's no shortage of other games to play this fall too, so we'll see. The calendar, we now flip it to March for GTA 5 next gen. And finally, just three more release dates. Miranda, you mentioned one of them, Dying Light 2 getting pushed back. Obviously, we don't mind, right?
No, that's fine. It's expected at this point. Yes, that's going to be pushed from December to February 4th, 2022. So not that far. January and February are going to be busy. Like everything, or I guess it's like extended fall is how I see it. It's like, yeah, winter exists, but this is now just extended fall. Because there's just so many big releases. We have like new Pokemon, obviously no next Fox game, but that's big for me. And then plenty of other releases. So I'm fine with that. Like that's fine. Like you said, Ryan, we're gonna be busy with Halo anyway in December, so that's cool.
Phoenix, are you a Dying Light fan? Or are you looking forward to two?
I played the first one. I really wasn't too big of a fan of it, but I'm not against giving it another try for a sequel. So them announcing a pushback, it's not like you both have said. It's not outside of the realm of possibility because we're still in a pandemic. You know, I expect everything that comes out this year to get pushed into next year. So it wasn't a shock. And I always will say, if you need more time, take more time.
Well said. Well said. And then the other couple of quick dates, Alan Wake Remastered, which we talked about last week, that is coming right up, less than 1 month to go. In fact, 3 weeks from now, October 5th for $30, which is great to see. I mean, that's probably what I would have expected and hoped the price would be for, you know, the Alan Wake glow up. It is not a full on remake of that game, but $30 there. That, of course, will be coming to Xbox One and the Series X and S. And then Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is dated for March 25th. Miranda, to your exact point, Q1 of 2022, basically just an extension of Q4 2021. So if you are a Borderlands fan looking forward to Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, mark your calendar there. But as Phoenix wisely notes, mark it in pencil for March 25th, 2022. All right. Phoenix, you watch the show, you know Unlocked, so you know that it's time for the loot box, where we invite a listener to video record themselves asking a general Xbox question for the panel. You post that on Twitter and then tag me. I'm at DMC_Ryan so that I will see it and can take note of it. And you may be featured on an upcoming episode, just as Kurt from Pennsylvania is this week. And I'll let Kurt take it from here.
What's up, Unlock crew? My name is Kurt, and I'm from Pennsylvania. And I just finished Psychonauts 2 today and really, really enjoyed my time with it. I thought the writing, the characters, the wordplay, just everything about it was a lot of fun. And throughout the game, I kept thinking, this team needs to make the next Banjo-Kazooie game. I'm a huge fan of that franchise, particularly the 2 N64 games. I absolutely freaked out when they were put in Smash, had to get the amiibo, of course. And I was hoping, by being put in Smash, I was hoping there might be a revival coming. Doesn't seem to be the case, but either way, I'm still hopeful. And so I'm just curious. I'm going to toss to you guys, see what your thoughts are. Do you think, would you like to see Double Fine make a Banjo-Kazooie game? Do you think it should stick with Rare? Do you think we may not ever see another game? You know, just what are your thoughts on that whole thing? Thanks for your time. You guys take care.
Kurt, thank you very much. And again, we want to hear from you. Be a part of the loot box. Record yourself, post on Twitter, tag me at DMC_Ryan. Well, let me go to, of course, Phoenix first, our esteemed guest, Double Fine, Banjo. You mentioned Banjo as one of your favorite Xbox games of all time at the top of the show. What would you think? And or if not Double Fine, who should do it?
Well, I wouldn't say Rare, because I think Rare, before they did Sea of Thieves, said that they were going to focus on new IPs, if I'm not mistaken. So could I see Double Fine doing it? Yes. This is my first Double Fine game playing. I didn't play the original Psychonauts, and I didn't play Brutal Legend, I think it was the other one. So it would be an interesting take to see how they handle that. I also think Obsidian would probably do well doing a Rare game as well. So, yes. But I'm all for Double Fine, absolutely.
Well, Miranda, we did have Tim Schafer on the last episode of 2020. I asked him that directly, and he gave a pretty clear answer that their next project was going to be their own thing, not a sequel, a new idea. They're not going to be dipping into any other Microsoft IP. So sadly, Double Fine does seem to be out, but maybe on that note, who would you like to see take the mantle of Banjo? Because we do all want Banjo to come back.
You say that, but I'm one of the people who doesn't, because I've never played it. So I sure, come back. I know people love it a lot. It's just one of those games we didn't have growing up. And I was like, people like the bird and the bear. I like, that's right. I like birds and bears as well. But I see why people would say Double Fine, just because I think the execution of Psychonauts is very reminiscent of those classic 3D platformers adventures, and they just do it so, so, so well. Yeah. In a way, I think a lot of other developers maybe who put out a game this year didn't do it in the same way for me, or wasn't as engaging the same way. So I'm not sure it would be a great fit for that. So I apologize. I don't have a good answer for this one, but I am stoked that Double Fine wants to do their own thing next, because they deserve it. And I want to see more original games from them, because they rule.
Yeah, I'll give a completely insane and unrealistic answer, but with something like Banjo specifically, I would love to see Phil Spencer pick up the phone to Nintendo, because he's done it before. There is a friendship there. Partner up and have it be a Switch Xbox dual exclusive, and have Nintendo make it. Why not? Nintendo's got the expertise.
Yeah.
Put it out on both platforms. Have it just be, you know, have it be on both. You know, Banjo's already in Smash. Why not? So that it'll probably never happen, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. So, Kurt, thank you so much for sending your loot box question in, and we'll do another one next week. Now, We've got just a couple minutes left. Unlock block trivia time. No pressure, Phoenix. Don't worry about it. You'll just jump on the leaderboard or not. So no need to feel any pressure. Because sometimes guests feel a lot of pressure with this, and it's totally just for fun. Eric from California has submitted this week's Unlock Block trivia question, and it goes back. You've got your deep Xbox knowledge. We're going back to the Xbox 360 here, and specifically Splinter Cell, which is a franchise near and dear to my heart. And Eric from California asks, which of the following vehicles was the promotional car in Splinter Cell Double Agent for the Xbox 360? You know, back then, promotional placement was kind of just a new thing in games. We talked about last week with Alan Wake, Energizer batteries and Verizon phones, which, by the way, are being removed for the remaster, probably because Remedy's not getting paid again. But, you know, that deal's over. But there was some interesting product placement of a car in Double Agent. So was that car a 2007 BMW 5 Series, a 2007 Chrysler 300, 2007 Acura TL, or 2007 Dodge Charger? I'm not sure if you're a car guy. If this rings a bell, I will say up front, I love Splinter Cell and cars. I did not remember this at all. This is a heck of a trivia question from Eric, but I'll throw it your way here, Phoenix. What do you think?
Oh, God. I feel like it's either... Wait a minute. You said it was a Chrysler, BMW,
Acura, Dodge. Or the Dodge Charger. Yeah.
I'm torn between the Dodge and the Acura, but I'm going to say the Acura.
Okay. Acura TL is your guess. Miranda, any thoughts here? You want to take whether you remember this, if this sticks out, or you want to just take a shot?
guess the Chrysler. I don't know cars.
That's okay. Yeah, I probably, now that you've both locked in your answers, I don't remember this, even though I think I reviewed Double Agent for Official Xbox Magazine. I would have definitely narrowed it down to the American cars, either Chrysler or Dodge. And in this case, I would have narrowed it correctly. Would I have picked the correct one in a coin flip? I'm not sure. But Miranda, you did guess the correct one. It was the Chrysler 300, which was a hot new car at the time. That was I don't know why they're not still making that car, because it was very well liked, the cool design. But Miranda, great job.
Thank you. Eric
from California could not stump you. And that will put you back in the lead here. I'm just pulling up the...
You're back, Destin.
Destin's at home.
I'm going to win.
On paternity leave. Miranda, 8 points. Destin, 7.
This is my
good
chance.
Job.
I got to get ahead. I'm going to be out soon, and then he's going to get the points. I have to, like, bounce it up. I will say, too, I did pick America. I said, I don't know anything about cars. I did know which ones were the American cars, and I was like, BMW wouldn't do that. So the Dodge Charger seems a little aggressive. It's a little big. But we'll see.
Well done. So if anybody else out there wants to send in an Xbox trivia question, you know what to do. Email unlocked@ign.com. Please include the question, 4 multiple choice answers, and note the correct one in your email. And of course, identify yourself so that we can give you credit when we use your question on a future show. And with that, we have come to the end of Unlocked 511. Phoenix, it's been great doing a show with you. I hope you'll come back. Now that the audience has fallen in love with you, they've had a great time spending the last hour or so with you. Where can we follow you on social media, on Twitch? Give yourself a good, well-earned plug here.
Okay, I'm going to try to pull my Roman Reigns thing going here. You can follow me on Twitter at KingPhoenix443 and then on Twitch under Phoenix443. I stream, I'm a variety streamer, but my community loves me to stream horror games, and I'm the biggest chicken in the world. So, yeah, but thank you both for having me on. A dream come true, as I said prior. This is like the Oscars for me. So thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are too kind, and I feel very underdressed if this is the Oscars. Last night was the Met Gala. We should have done our Met Gala episode. Wow. We all wear crazy outfits.
Can we do that sometime?
We should.
It for us.
We'll play. Yeah, we'll plan that for next year. So, yes, Phoenix, thank you so much. Miranda, what are you up to?
Oh, man, I'm doing a ton of good stuff. Be sure if you are having trouble with Tales of Arise or Psychonauts 2 or Deathloop, which I know is not on Xbox yet, but, you know, maybe someday. It's on PC. We have guides for those, and they are immensely helpful, and I hope you will use them. Otherwise, I'm just streaming on Twitch like I usually do. Right now I'm playing Bioshock Infinite, and I'm doing a lot of behind-the-scenes work. So please stay tuned to IGN for all your guides help. Thank you.
Fantastic. And I, of course, am Ryan McCaffrey. I'm on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. I don't think I have anything super cool to talk about, like IGN work-wise, that I can point you towards. But that will be changing soon because, again, Halo's coming up. We'll definitely have a ton of coverage on the next multiplayer flight. And I think that will about wrap it up. Deathloop. Coming to Xbox in a year, 10 out of 10 on IGN. Go watch the review on youtube.com/IGN or just on IGN.com. The strange conversation on social media in the Xbox community about that one yesterday, at least on my feed. Is it a bummer that Xbox fans won't be playing it for a year? Sure, but you should be pretty darn excited that it's a Microsoft-made game that's a 10 that you will get to play in a year's time. So congratulations to everybody at Arkane on a tremendous achievement with Deathloop. And that'll do it for Super Producer Red alongside King Phoenix and Miranda Sanchez. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. This was Unlocked 511, and we will see you back here next week.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.